Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here. Very exciting day for the Diamondbacks. We're at the end of a very, very intensive process in selecting a new general manager, and all of us associated with the club are totally thrilled that Kevin Towers is going to be our new general manager. And it almost is hard to describe for me the emotions of going back really 5 years ago when Kevin and I met and talked, and we were considering him for the position. And I guess, occasionally in life one gets a do-over, and in the case of Kevin, we're getting a do-over. And I'm thrilled about it. I want to take just a minute, if I may, while it's Kevin's day, and it's and most of this is about Kevin and what his vision for our club is going to be, I think it's important to take a minute and talk about Jerry DePoto and the incredible work that he put into this position over the last 3 months. I mean, in making the change that we did in the middle of the season, it was not a pleasant time for us. We had a very dedicated staff here. We still have a very dedicated staff here. We asked Jerry to step in and be their leader. No one could have brought more passion, commitment, and frankly competence to the position than Jerry. And so we are internally grateful to him for the hard work and the dedication to mission over this past few months. I think we can all agree, or at least we all see it, and I hope you do, that our club is a better club today than it was back in midseason when Jerry stepped up, and he and his staff deserve great credit for that. So I think it's important that we all recognize that hard work and dedication and frankly, good result that Jerry brought to the club.
Yeah, I would begin right there where Ken just left off and thank Jerry DePoto for his service, his commitment, the job he did, the success. He was tremendous. He truly was. And it was a difficult conversation last night to let him know that we had gone in a different direction, because I know his heart was in it and he wanted this position so badly. And Jerry he's going to be a general manager. I mean, Jerry he's proven that he's ready for it. In our current situation, we felt that Kevin Towers is the right man for this position, and to turn things around right now, we have the confidence in Kevin, his track record, the success, mid-sized market success, the fact that he can create and build a roster, in my opinion, arguably better than anyone. Certainly bullpen, he can build a bullpen. He has great passion for this game, great passion for scouting and player development. I'm very proud of the process that we went through. And we had some great candidates. And again, I think our entire staff, the baseball operations staff, that is working tirelessly, and it's tough to go through an interim period, as we all know. It was our goal to hopefully have someone in place before the end of the season. That has now happened. Now he can take a look at the manager and coaching staff and make his assessment here in the next week or so. But I'm thrilled. I'm proud to call Kevin Towers our general manager, and I know that he's going to improve this team immediately.
KT. Thanks, Derek. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Derek and Ken for giving me this tremendous opportunity to be the GM of the Diamondbacks. I guess second time's a charm. Had a lot of interest in this place in 2005. Saw the good players that they had in their system at that time, and it all came to fruition in 07. Not to help us out, we ended up getting knocked out that year, but a lot of great things have happened in the history of the Diamondbacks. I've been very fortunate. 14 years as a general manager, really to see a lot of things happen in the Diamondback organization. I was part of the Padres when we had to protect our players to make sure that the Tampa Bay Devil Rays and the Diamondbacks didn't take some of our good players. So I've got to see them start from the very beginning. I've seen a lot of guys here actually in the ballpark and for their World Series run, beating out the Yankees. And, it's a lot of historical things have happened in this organization, a lot of things that we were never able to accomplish in San Diego. They've had a player hit for the cycle. We are there in San Diego. We didn't. They've had pitchers throw no hitters. That didn't happen for us in San Diego. They've won a World Series. When we were in San Diego, we'd been to two World Series, but had never won one. So I'm awfully excited to be a part of the Diamondback family. There's several individuals here, not only within baseball ops, but within the organization that I've worked for before. Love to compete. You know, the year off, I think, has been great for me and my family. I'd like to recognize my beautiful wife, Kelly, who's here in attendance today. Able to re-energize the batteries a little bit. Being out of the GM's chair, it got to get in a little bit better shape and to kind of get my thoughts together and know how I would do things differently if I was ever presented with an opportunity again. It was great getting a chance to work with Brian Cashman, the New York Yankees. Learned a lot from them. Large market club, how they do business. But I'm sincerely very excited to be back in the NL, not just the NL, but the NL West, and really in Arizona. This has kind of been our home for the last 17 years, 2 months or 2 months of it every year. This has been our home, so I think Kelly and I actually probably know Arizona as well as we do San Diego. I think there's a lot of good core players here to build around. You know, I've watched the ball club over the last month and probably over the last 2 weeks a little bit more intensely than I did over the last month when there was a chance that this may happen. And, you know, I like a lot of things that are happening on the field, and I think it's a quick turnaround. I'm not a big believer in long, you know, 5-year plans, 6-year plans. And I want to win next year. I know these guys want to win next year, and I think that was the beauty of coming to work with these guys and getting a chance to sit down with Ken and Derek and know how badly they want to get back to, you know, bringing a championship ball club to the fans, the many fans here in Arizona and in the Phoenix community. So, you know, proof will be in the pudding. Talk is talk, but I will assure you that I'm going to do everything in my power and our baseball operations staff to get back on top of the NL West and get back to playing championship baseball and get back to see this ballpark filled as it was 8 or 9 years ago. That was a very exciting time, and that's what motivates me, drives me. Looking forward to making this our home on a year-round basis. Looking forward to being an actual Zoney rather than when you're in California and they say Zonies come to California. So very excited and appreciative, and look forward to getting to know each and every one of you, and hopefully it's a great, great run. Thank you.
If you do have a question, please raise your hand. We do have two wireless mics. Brad, over on the left.
Welcome, first and foremost. You have a knack for finding pitching. Jake Peavy, a 15th round. Latos, a 10th round. You found Gregerson and Bell off scrap heaps. Just talk about the eye for building a team from pitching, bullpen, and rotation.
Well, I'm a big believer in pitching. I think pitching is what wins. Not to say that I take offense lightly, but pitching to me is paramount, especially the bullpen, especially in the National League, especially in the NL West. You know, this is probably one of the better hitters' ballparks in the NL West, probably in the top five offensive parks in baseball. But when you look at Colorado now with the humidor, San Diego and LA and San Francisco, they're pitchers type ballparks, and to me, you know, pitching is the name of the game. You look at clubs that go deep into postseason, you know, especially these days, I think the last 2 or 3 years, ones that are pitching dominant are usually the ones that end up, you know, at the end of the year on top. So, you know, I believe in size. I believe in strength. With size comes strength. I like guys that have strikeout ability. I like people that attack. I've got an aggressive personality. I like pitchers that are aggressive. I like people that, you know, pound the zone, that are not afraid to challenge hitters inside. And they have to have a good secondary pitch to be able to strike out middle of the order type hitters. When you're small market or middle market clubs, you're going to have to be a little bit more creative. You know, you're going to have to start digging down deep, you know, in A ball and Double A, and finding those players that, you know, have the potential to be those type of players. Maybe before they get on the other team's radar screen. I think that's what happened in Gregerson's case, and Bell's case, Mojica's case. Adam's case, and you know, to me, it really comes down to good scouts. You know, having good pro scouts that are out there finding those type of guys. GM's always going to look good or bad based on the product that's out there, but it's really, to me, it's the scouts that are out there finding those players.
What's the official status of Jerry DePoto?
You know, Jerry, we talked last night quite a bit about his plans, and it's really up in the air right now. It's a matter of, and I know he's keeping an open mind until he meets with Kevin, but get the two together and see if there's a fit. I absolutely think the world of Jerry. I love him. You know, and I would love for him to be here if it makes sense for both parties. But you know, he's got a lot of friends out there who I'm sure have already reached out to him. Jerry's going to have no problem if it's not here being somewhere, and deservedly so, because he's outstanding.
Jerry did a nice job creating some salary space for the next couple of years. A bullpen, top priority for you?
Well, just assessing the club from afar. I'm looking forward to probably traveling with the club this next road trip to spend some time with Gibby and the coach and staff, and maybe Gonzo, and if Jerry's still wants to be here, Jerry, to get a better feel for the ball club, the people that have been around it on a daily basis. But just looking at it from afar, to me, bullpen and bench. I think I've always been a big believer in building backwards, from the closer on down to your starters. I like the young starters that they have here, but I always said that I use it often that my analogy of baseball games is like a dining experience. You can have a great meal with tremendous ambiance and great company, but if you got to wait 40 minutes for your check, you ain't going to remember anything that was good about that dinner. Baseball game's no different. Great pitching performances, Hudson did the other night, but if you blow the game at the end of the game and your pen does, the fans are going to walk out, your players, your coaching staff, front office, everybody's going to be unhappy. So bullpen could make managers and people look good, and my hope here is to put together a bullpen that's better than San Diego's, and I think if that's the case, I think we're going to score runs here, and putting together a strong bullpen, and to me it's several weapons. A bullpen's not just the closer. To me, you should have 5 to 6 guys that could pitch in the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning against a middle-of-the-order hitter and be able to get a strikeout, to give your manager options, choices. And the bench, your good teams have experienced bench players that know their role. With double switches in the National League, I think it's vital and it's important to have a manager that has weapons on the bench and in the pen where he could choose and manage the game knowing the type of matchups that he might get late in the ballgame.
Kevin, do you have any restrictions on hiring employees from San Diego that you worked with to bring them here?
No.
Kevin, they've had clubs that have struck out at a record pace. It'll be this year. Could you talk a little bit about what your philosophy is, and are you looking at maybe changing the composition of that offense?
Well, with power usually comes strikeouts. They usually kind of go hand in hand. And you're going to have usually a couple guys in your lineup that are going to have high strikeouts, and hopefully the homers come with them. Personally, I like contact hitters. I like guys that have good pitch recognition. Strikeouts are part of the game, but if you've got 4 or 5 or 6 guys in your lineup, it's hard to sustain any sort of rally. Big believer in, as I said, pitch recognition, finding ways, grinding out, an at-bat. Seen a lot of pitches. More pitches you see, longer ABs that you have. David Eckstein was a perfect example, who was here at one time. I mean, Eck could see 9, 10, 11 pitches in an at-bat. He gets up 2 or 3 times in the first 5 innings, and all of a sudden you're feasting off middle relief. So, I need a little bit more time to kind of evaluate. That's why I'm looking forward to this road trip and talking to the coach and staff. But, there's some nice hitters on this ball club right now. But, the strikeouts were somewhat alarming. I think that you certainly need to cut that back, and like to see certainly breaking a record for probably more walks than more strikeouts would be a positive thing.
Kevin, do you have a relationship with Kirk Gibson, and what will go into the evaluation process to see if he's back next season?
I actually had a chance to meet with Kirk about 10 o'clock this morning. We were going to spend about 30 minutes and end up being about 2 hours. Intense guy. Liked the look in his eye. He had me, actually my seat was dropping when I was talking to him, but you could tell he's a winner. He's a grinder. He's a guy that has high expectations. I've watched, as I said, the last 3 weeks to a month and listened to some of the post-game interviews that he's done, and he's learned from some great people. I mean, Jim Leland, Sparky Anderson. He's played with under some great managers that had high expectations of their players and held their players accountable. Alan Trammell, I know, is a close friend of his, who I had on my coaching staff. Actually, Tram's a pretty good friend of mine and has said nothing but good things about him. Boomer, I know, is another, David Wells, another good one of his friends who is a San Diego resident, said nice things about him. Jerry Krause, the ex-GM of the Chicago Bulls, knows him well and said nothing. I have not heard anything bad about him. I'm really looking forward to spending the next week with him and the entire coaching staff, getting to know him a little bit more. But on first impression, on him, liked the look in the eye and liked what he had to say. And I think that he probably deserves a little bit more time to be able to set a foundation with a spring training environment versus it's very tough on an interim basis to maybe do some of the things you'd like to do during the season. It's hard, but I think he's done a great job, you know, in the short period that he's been here.
Back left.
Kevin, do you have any ideas on approaching the draft differently here, maybe than you did in San Diego?
Yeah, you know, I tell you, in San Diego, we were just talking about that earlier. You know, I think, you know, the most important thing about the draft is just the process, you know, to make sure that you get several looks at players. I know this year we've got two very, very high picks, you know, which is a good thing. You know, and from everything that I hear from scouts and amateur scouts, there's a lot of depth in this year's draft. But, you know, I'm going to certainly sit down with Tommy Allison, our scouting director here, and if Jerry's here to talk about Jerry, I mean, you know, I'm a big believer. I've always been a big believer in position players early. You know, hitters usually don't slide. Power comes late, but guys that have that knack of putting the sweet spot on the ball, you don't get those guys deep in the draft. I mean, if you want the good hitter, proven hitter, may not be power yet, but the power may come later. You're going to have to take them early. You get a little bit luckier with pitchers deep in the draft. Sometimes the velocity doesn't come until a little bit later after a couple of years, so you know, less risk for injury probably with a position player. But I'm not opposed to high school versus college. I like hitters early, and I like pitchers with size and arm strength that have the ability to command the strike zone. But, you know, to me, I've always relied on my scouting director. I mean, those are the people that are out there with all the comparisons and the people that are looking at those guys. I mean, I think as a general manager, it's to let them know, you know, in a perfect world, you know, this is a need within the organization. If that player's available, we should take him. If not, you know, let's take the best player, the most talented players, regardless of the position, regardless of the depth in the organization, the best players.
Jack Magruder in front row.
Kevin, can you, getting back to manager, is that the first order of business to determine a manager for next year? And do you have a deadline you'd like to get that done by, or a time frame you'd like to get that done?
Well, I have no deadline. I hate deadlines. Deadlines are the worst thing you could set. They always seem to bend. You know, for me, it's really getting to know everybody in this organization. Certainly, you know, most coaches' contracts are probably up at the end of October. You know, as I said, I'm looking forward to this road trip in these next couple of days to spend some time with Gibby and the coach and staff, and really everybody in baseball ops and people in ticketing. I'm just looking forward to meeting Diamondback employees and being a part of this family right now. And to me, it's not, as I was telling Derek and Ken, I mean, I want to get to know everybody in the organization. I think everybody should get to know the people in baseball ops. But in due time, we're not going to drag the thing out for our managerial position. You know, I had, a good conversation with Kirk this morning and told him that if he wants to stay up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning on this next road trip talking baseball, you got a guy, you're going to have to kick me out of the room. I can talk baseball all the time. So I don't know if that answered your question, but no real timeline other than we're not going to drag this thing out either.
Bob Nightingale in the back.
Hey, congratulations.
Thanks, Bob.
Taking the year off as you did, what did you learn the most, or what do you bring into this job as far as taking a deep breath and in a retrospective?
Well, probably priorities. You know, I think that we all know how difficult this job, not as a GM, but anybody that's involved in baseball operations or in baseball general, in any department within professional baseball. You know, it takes a great deal of time, and you kind of realize how important family is. You know, I've gotten to spend a lot more time with my wife, Kelly, which was huge, which was important, our three beautiful bulldogs. You know, family, just, you know, mom, dad, sister. I mean, I was able to do some things with my family I'd never had an opportunity to do so. And to know that, you know, this job's certainly going to be a grind as my previous one was, but to remember really kind of those important pillars and part of your foundation is family, and to not forget them, you know, continue to rely on them. And that's one thing I would say that, you know, for me, I kind of realized how much I miss the competition. Being out a year, I miss that day-to-day, those adrenaline feelings, that waking up in the morning, being excited, being upset, watching a ball game. You know, when you're watching it now kind of as a special assignment scout with the Yankees, I don't like to see the Yankees lose, but I guarantee you Brian Cashman's stomach's turning a little bit more than Kevin Towers is sitting in his house in La Jolla at Wind and Sea Beach. I want to, you know, be sitting here in Arizona and feeling that pain again.
You will.
I don't want to feel pain. I want to feel that excitement. I want that Sunday victory with a Monday off day. That's the best 2 days in baseball.
Any other questions?
Darren alluded to the fact that you really were the architect of the Padres team. Was it tough to watch their success or rewarding being from a distance this year?
You know what? It was exciting. I will say that I've been a Yankee fan this year. I turned the page on the Padres when I left in October. I've got a lot of great friends there, players that were maybe brought in with me. But, you know, that's Jed Hoyer's team, Jeff Morad's team. You know, no sour grapes. You know, I was blessed to have 14 years there as a GM and 26 in the organization. But when I walked out that door in October of last year, I turned the page. And I was a Yankee fan. I mean, I've been watching the guys in pinstripes up until the last week. Now I'm looking at Sidonia Red and hopefully just get to see the guys in the pinstripes in October.
Any last questions? Okay, we'll be available for one-on-ones right after this, and just let us know what you need. Thank you.